on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Friday, August 28th edition of InvestTalk. I appreciate you being with me. Well, geez, I guess we can breathe a sigh of relief today as the market calmed down. Barely moved at all today. Well, there was movement, but it ended up barely moving. And of course, as you know, InvestTalk here is like it's like a meeting place where cooler heads prevail, hopefully. That's what our hope is. Please feel free to bring your questions to me. I want to hear your comments as well. How have you responded to this kind of hairy week in the market? 888-99-CHART is our number you can get through straight through right now. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. Remember, we made the point again yesterday that the market is not the economy, even though they are interrelated. In my commentary on InvestTalk.com, I tried to summarize the week for the economy. I said this week's economic numbers were all good. This morning's personal income number was up 0.4%, and consumer spending was up 0.3%. Now, neither of those numbers are that strong. They're neither strong nor weak. However, yesterday's revision of GDP for the second quarter was a surprisingly strong 3.7% from 2.3%. That was dramatic. And this morning's inflation report in the Federal Reserve, which is the Federal Reserve's favorite report on inflation called the PCE, was up 0.2% in core goods for July and up only 1.2% over the past year. That is very low. The Fed's target is 2%. Remember, I said we don't know why they have a target of 2%. We don't know where they came up with 2%, but that is their target. They want inflation. And all this news on the U.S. economy is generally upbeat. Has been for weeks and weeks. But as we all know, the stock market fell pretty hard this week. And then it bounced pretty hard too, but it didn't bounce up as much as it fell. The market is clearly down for the year. So our economy is doing good, but doesn't seem to make a lot of difference in stock market. And people think it should. Well, the economy and the stock market are tied together, but they're not at the same time in the cycle. The stock market leads up and leads down the economy. So when the stock market falls into a bear market, usually the economy follows suit later on, a few months later. You only have to, and just opposite is true. When the stock market starts to rise, the economy still looks bad. And it's only a few months later that you see it moving up. And you saw in 2008, 2009, it was very clear then. So there really is a correlation. It's just not the same type. Now, the difficulty is always dividing what is a correction in the stock market and how do we recognize it as a bear market? Correction versus bear. Now, the odds are this is a correction, but time and hindsight are the only way to be sure. We don't know. Time and hindsight, looking back, saying, that was a correction. That was a bear market. That's the only way you can do it. No one has a crystal ball. I wish they had them for sale somewhere, but I don't. If you know where they are, let me know. Do you have a comment or question about the economy or any money matter? Let's try to answer some questions. This one came in between programs on our 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Justin and Steve, calling from Woodland Hills, California. I have a question for you guys. I had on most of my stocks, I had stop-loss orders coming into Monday morning of this very volatile week, of course. And luckily, my bad luck, they all sold at an extremely low price, Facebook at $72, Apple at $95. There were just some doozies in there that, and I couldn't recover because I'm on the West Coast here. It happened at 6:30 in the morning. Things went down quickly. Everything got sold, almost everything. And when I got up, half an hour later, things were, 5-10% higher, and I couldn't even recover. At this point, obviously, not sure what to do. What would you recommend? Do I wait for the second, you know, if there's one coming bottom down, or just take the losses, try to reinvest? I don't know. Just wanted to hear what you guys think about that. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. I'm a very, very avid listener. Thank you.
Appreciate the call. It is tough when your stops get taken out like that, and it's not unheard of. So be very careful when you put in stops that you don't get stopped out. Whipsawed. We call it whipsawed, and you got whipsawed pretty good there. But the question is a good question. What do you do now? So it already happened. You can't cry over spilt milk. It's done. You know, you might as well not even worry about it now. Now is what do you do now? Well, I can tell you that we bought a couple of stocks yesterday and the day before, you know, but we are very careful what we buy, very, very careful. We have a lot more cash on the sidelines, but what I would suggest is that you don't panic back in. Don't panic back in. We had a pretty calm day today. Let's give it a few more days and see if the market retests that low. Maybe give us a week or two. It's a bit early for a year-end rally. So just relax. Let's see if the market does some more correcting. It would not be uncommon for it to come back down and retest those lows. If it goes back and retests those lows we had this week and then starts back up, then start investing. Don't buy all at one time. Just start investing. And you can go out and buy one or two stocks on Monday. You can. But you got to be really, really careful of what sectors you're in. Look for those big, solid, blue-chip type companies maybe that pay a dividend, and the dividends are very, very secure. And that's what I would do. Just slowly buy back in. If the market gives another correction, if it breaks below this week's lows, if it happens, so next week or the week after it breaks below this week's lows, you then want to wait. Don't get too excited about buying stuff on sale. You know, you want to see some strength. What we've seen so far is a bounce. Until it goes above the correction high, you know, before the correction started, there's no reason to get excited about this, the 2-day big up move. It's still down below what it started with. So don't get too excited. I'm not, you know, there's no reason to rush back in is what I'm telling you. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Oil and metals offer plenty of advantages, but they also have more exposure to downside volatility. Could commodities be worth the risk? Now, should you buy, remember, you can buy commodities direct, or you can buy a company that is involved with commodities. That's kind of new. With ETFs these days, you can actually buy commodities, the commodities that you're interested in. Should you do that, or should you buy the companies that make or produce or use the commodities? That's one of our talking points today. Big week for oil, one of the commodities. Is it a sign that it has bottomed? I believe so, but I want to talk about it a little bit more in depth. China may be worse off than we think. This was a study done by Evercore ISI and their analysts, and we're going to talk about that study. And then something a little bit less onerous than what's going on with our money. How about exercise older people should not do? This is people at 40 years and older, 40 years and older. Not just the middle-aged people. Exercise you should not do because it does the opposite of what you think. Interesting little tidbit, I thought. So I thought I'd share it. And for us who've been working hard trying to get rid of that midriff, maybe we're doing the wrong thing. The Dow was down 12 points today. The Nasdaq was up 16, and the S&P up 1. On much less volume also. So there wasn't not a lot of volume today. So the market's calming down. That's not unusual. That's totally to be expected. No one should be surprised. Now it's a question of, well, what's next? And I will say this, it would not be uncommon, it would be more normal for a retest of the lows we had this week. That would be normal. So let's see if that happens. Remember, one day doesn't mean anything. One week is not that important, but this week was pretty dramatic. It's telling us something. The market's telling us something. Just not sure that what the interpretation is. So I think we should just be calm and wait. When you're an InvestTalk Insider, you have new opportunities to learn. Is the tech bubble 2.0 popping? Justin wrote an informative article for another publication, and we wanted to share it with our InvestTalk Insiders. Become an insider, InvestTalk Insider. Get access to extra information and insight. Sign up now on InvestTalk.com. It's free.
Hey, my name is John from Gilbert, Arizona. Love your show. Thanks for putting it on every day. I have a question about IRAs. I have a traditional IRA, and I'm in my late 30s. I have about $20,000 in it, and a traditional IRA, and I wanted to know if I should, would be a better to roll it over into a Roth IRA and pay the tax penalty now and let it grow tax-free and then be able to take it out tax-free as a Roth as opposed to continue funding it as a traditional IRA. Thank you very much for putting on the show every day. I appreciate it, and I look forward to hearing your response.
Well, if you're in a very low tax bracket, I suppose you can do that. Because you don't have to, you rolling it may not push you into a higher tax bracket. But I would prefer you leave it alone and just open up a Roth IRA and start funding that over the next few years instead of the regular IRA. Don't fund it anymore. This way you avoid the tax penalty, and now you have both a Roth and a regular IRA. And why do I want both? Because I really like the option of picking which ones to take the money out of in retirement. At 70 and a half, you're going to have required minimum distributions from the regular IRA, but you don't have to ever take money out of the Roth. So you can try to keep yourself in the lowest tax bracket in retirement by picking and choosing which ones you take the money out of and how much. So I would probably, only if you're in a very low tax bracket would I consider rolling it over into a Roth. Otherwise, I just open up a new Roth and start funding it and stop funding the IRA for the time being and just start pushing that money into the Roth IRA. That would be my suggestion. But, you know, you can always ask your accountant. And, you know, he knows your tax situation better than I do. But if on a principle, that's what I would do. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So the market calmed way down today. It was, you know, it was down more than up almost a whole morning, almost a whole day. It was kind of down. It was down 100, 150 points early, and then came back and got positive, then back down 80 points or so, and then came back toward the end of the day and ended up being kind of flattish for the day, which, you know, to me was a good action. That meant to me that with looking, watching the volume, that much less volume, people calming down, everybody's not freaking out, you know, so I think that's a good sign. Now, we'll have to see what more news comes out of China. I think we got more news coming out of them, and I think they're going to do more to try to boost their economy. I think they'll have a talking point talking about what their economic numbers really are, because, you know, we don't really know. China reports they have, you know, around 7% growth. They report that, but do we really know that that's true? And the answer is no. We don't know. They have no idea if whether that's true. Because they're not transparent. We don't know. We can't see. 888-99-CHART is how you get through anytime, 24 hours a day. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley. We can talk live when you call between 4 and 5 Pacific time. I'm here right now on Invest Talk.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Is there an investment that you can hold from college into retirement? Holding a mutual fund for 50 years. That's our talking point for Monday's podcast. We hope you can join us then.
Okay, so as China falls, and has been falling now both economically and their stock market, Should you now invest in commodities? Is commodities a good idea? You know how beaten up that whole sector has been. It's been really beaten up. And we talked about this yesterday a little bit. Is it an opportunity to invest in commodities? Now, when we talk about investing in commodities, we have to separate two things. Investing in the actual commodity, buying pork bellies or gold or oil or iron ore, orange juice, or do you buy commodity companies that either mine it, grow it, or use the commodity? When I'm talking about buying commodities, I'm talking about, should you buy commodities directly? And my answer would be, probably not. You're going to have to leave that to better people than you and I, because there's people who specialize in trading commodities. And commodities, even in a bull market or bear market, commodities are very, very volatile. But the companies are a different story. Companies, at least you can look at earnings and profitability and long-term dividends and different kinds of things that you can look at. And I'm going to say, yeah, it's time to really look at them. The two out of three buys we've had in the last 2 weeks have been more commodity related, have been in the commodity area. And I think we're seeing bargains there. Of course, you saw a big up in oil this week, but you know, I think you have to think about commodities a little bit. And I personally think that the average person should stay away from the actual commodity itself, because then you're trading in commodities, and that's a very difficult area. But I do think maybe looking at mining companies or oil drillers, integrated oil service companies, or gold mining, food production, companies. I'm kind of liking those areas. Everybody hates it. It's terrible. That's why I'm kind of liking those areas. Don't go crazy on me. I'm not saying buy the farm there or anything, but starting to pick and choose some of them look pretty decent to me. Okay, decent. But no one really knows. Don't think there's everybody has a crystal ball. Big oil for the week is up 12%. That's huge, to $45.22 a barrel. Just the beginning of the week, we were talking about $38, $39 a barrel. Pretty impressive move. Our first priority is answering your questions, of course. Let's pick up a call that came in before today's program on our 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Sean from New York again. As always, thank you for your excellent show. My question today is regarding investing in dividend-paying stocks. If somebody wanted to invest, say, $50,000 in dividend-paying stocks, would it be wiser to invest that money in an ETF that pays, let's say, 4.5% dividend, or put all of that money in one stock that pays, say, 5% dividend? And what is the advantage of one over another? Thank you very much again. I'll be listening to the response in the pod.
Okay. Given the scenario you just described, it would be much smarter to buy the ETF, not the individual stock. And it all goes to risk. Let's say that stock is one of the stocks in the ETF. Okay? The one company that has that big high dividend is inside the ETF with a bunch of other stocks paying high dividends in the ETF. Now let's say that stock has a CEO who is a crook. And he's got fraud everywhere. Money's gone. Billions of dollars. That stock goes bankrupt. If you own that one stock, you just lost all your money. No matter how good that dividend is, it ain't going to do you one bit of good if the stock is bankrupt. In the ETF, that same stock goes bankrupt. It's a hit. It hurts, but it's not going to kill you. So that's why the advantages of ETF. You do not want to overload anything in any one stock. I don't care how good it is. I don't care. It was the world's best company. You do not put all your money in any one stock. 3 to 5% of your portfolio in any one stock. I like 3%. I like you to have 30 to 35 different stocks. No more than 15, 20% in any one sector. This is called managing the risk of your portfolio. You got to manage it. It's your job to make sure you don't lose money as well as make money. Don't think because you just think you found the world's greatest stock and you need to, this, no one else knows about it, just you. Of course, if you found the world's greatest stock, everybody else found it long before you. So don't think, there's a lot of smart people out there and all they do is look for stocks. So you have to manage your portfolio in a way to make sure you don't lose a lot of money and that you're not taking too much risk. Spread the risk around. This is Invest Talk. Let's put a little common sense spin on investing. The patterns of the past help us understand what's going on today. We're always open to your questions at 888-99-CHART. Chart. We're going to go talk to Bill in San Francisco who wants to talk about ExxonMobil. How you doing, Bill?
Oh, hey, Steve. I'm just wondering if you think that ExxonMobil might retest its lows. I'm looking for a buying opportunity.
Well, I just mentioned we bought 2 out of 3 stocks in the last couple of weeks, and ExxonMobil is one of them. So let's put it that way.
Okay.
I like ExxonMobil.
Oh, okay.
I think that oil prices were oversold when they got to $38, and now they're back up to $45. I do think that this is a stock that you kind of want to have in your portfolio. It's paying 3.9% dividend. And I would say, yeah, you want to buy, if it does retest those lows, you definitely want to buy ExxonMobil. Now, even if it doesn't retest those lows, let's say it breaks above the 20-day moving average, which is about $76. That's like another dollar on the top. You might want to at least add half your position. You may not get another. You don't know if it's going to go back down. You know what I'm saying? So at least put on half so you can at least, if it does keep moving up. And it's going to be depending on oil prices, Bill. You know, will oil prices keep moving up? And I'm going to say, they're not going to move up fast. They're not. But I think we're going to have a supply problem in oil. The fracking companies, a lot of them are going to be out of business because they can't survive on $40 a barrel of oil, $45 or $50. They have trouble at $60 a barrel. They're going to have a heck of a time surviving. So a lot of those people are going to go away for a while, and that means supply is going to go down more. So even if demand doesn't go up, supply is shrinking more than the current demand. And world demand for oil is going up, not down. So, Bill, appreciate the call.
So your advice would also apply to Chevron as well?
You know, I wanted to buy Chevron so bad, I could taste it. And it just didn't pull the trigger fast enough. But, yes, I want to buy Chevron too. I want to buy Chevron.
Okay.
Okay. Bill, if people ask me about the right stocks, I will tell you what I think. But I can't. I wish I could just say, these are stocks I really like, and I can't do it because of the SEC rules. But if you ask me, I can then talk about them. So I really appreciate asking about those two. Those are the two of my favorite oil companies right now. And I think I don't own Chevron. I do own Exxon, but I desperately want to buy Chevron. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. That was Bill in San Francisco about Exxon, XOM. Chevron is CVX. I like Chevron because it pays a 5.3 dividend. 5.3%. Do you think they're going to stop paying their dividend? They've never cut their dividend. They have almost a $20 per share cash flow. Yes, profits went from last year, $10 a share, to this year, $3.65 a share. Got crushed. Next year they're going to bounce up to $5.19. Cash flow is still going to be very high. Yes, sales are going down because the prices of oil is going down. Yes to all those things. And normally you would hear me whining about don't buy this company because of that. But we're talking about a company called Chevron and Exxon. Companies that are huge, long-term, paying high dividends, will not go out of business. You buy these companies when they're on sale. And the question in your mind should, are they on sale? Are they cheap enough? That's really what you should ask. Can they get cheaper? Of course I could be wrong. Of course they can. Right? I'm not saying that they won't get cheaper. I'm just saying that look pretty good deal right now. Big Oil, up 12% this year. This week, I'm sorry, to $45.22 a share. So the question is production going to continue to decline? The answer to that is yes. Is demand continuing to grow? The answer to that is yes. When are we at equilibrium yet? Has it declined enough? Has demand gone up? Demand for oil in the United States has gone down, but not the rest of the world. So it's a supply and demand scenario. Demand is still rising, supply is shrinking. Demand doesn't even have to rise. If the supply shrinks down further and further and further, less than the current demand, prices are going to go up. Remember the old saying that we mentioned yesterday? The cure for low prices is low prices. The cure for low oil prices is low oil prices. Right? The lower they are, the less supply there will be because companies will go out of business. They'll stop looking for it. We've already seen a huge reduction in drillers. Let's go to Dan in San Diego. How you doing, Dan?
Hi, Steve. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
Actually, I got two things. Number one, are you still buying Hecla Mining?
We still own it. I've been beaten up on that, and I haven't added to it, but I like it now. It looks like it's finally turning around, knock on wood.
So, yeah, yes. I think it might be a little, might take a little while on that one.
Oh, yeah.
What I'm calling about is U.S. Geothermal.
Okay.
HTM. It's a little geothermal company that turned a corner about a year ago, started making money. I just wanted to find out what your fancy information has to say about it now.
My fancy information, huh?
Your expensive stuff.
Okay, that's true. U.S. Geothermal is a very, very small company, as you just mentioned, Dan. It's a $62 million company, meaning it's a micro cap. That translate into high risk. Okay? This is very high risk.
Right.
So you're rolling the dice on this guy, and you could be right. It went to it's a penny stock at $58. Not $58. 58 cents. 58 cents. It was as low as in mid 40s in the beginning of the year. So it's starting to move up. The nice thing is it is making money and has made money since 2013. It made 2 cents
right.
a share in 2013, 9 cents a share in 2014. It's going to make 3 cents a share this year, so it's going down. But then 16 cents a share next year. That's what my fancy expensive stuff says.
And, okay, good.
And 16 cents a share means this stock is really underpriced at 58 cents.
Uh-huh.
Now,
well, I think it might very well be a buyout target as well.
This just for everybody else, though, Dan, this it is in the acquisition, development, and utilization of geothermal resources in the western United States. So that's what it does.
So, yeah. And it's got 3-4 very long-term power contracts, 25 years signed. So the money's going to be coming in for a while. So it's okay.
The biggest danger you have is it's got a lot of debt. That's probably That's probably your biggest danger. Can it handle the debt, and when it gets stressed out? I don't know. It's very, very small, only for money that you don't mind losing in case it goes south on you. Dan, appreciate the call.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
HTM. HTM is a symbol, U.S. Geothermal Inc. 888-99-CHART. China may be worse off than we think. We know that, in June, their stock market started to collapse, okay? And it went down 30-40%. Then we know last week, last week they we know they've been reducing their the equivalent of our Fed funds rate 5 times so far this year and 2 times in the last month, the equivalent of our Fed's funds rate. So they've been moving it down, 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 down. We also know that they lowered the value of their currency by expanding the bounds or the boundaries that it trades against the U.S. dollar. Okay, we know that because they want to try to boost exports. All these efforts, and now you saw them, we all suspect that they've been buying their own stocks, the government, in their stock market, trying to keep that from falling further, and it fell pretty hard this week. And we know that they reduced the reserve requirements by their banks. They're trying to push more loans to small companies. They're doing a lot of different things to try to spur their economy. Now comes a report from Evercore ISI. This is a company that analyzed their economy. And they analyzed their economy. They actually think the Chinese economy shrank in July, which is far, far below the 7% growth year over year that China has been saying. And how do they do that? Well, remember, China's not opaque. I mean, China is opaque. It's not clear. We don't know what's going on inside their economy. But they use other kinds of data to try to analyze what's going on. 7 different kinds of components, such as, railway freight movement, airplane passengers, electricity consumption, those kinds of things. And they're trying to use independent sources about those kind of things, not relying on government numbers. And they feel that the economy they shrank in July, and year over year, they may be a half or less than 7%. Now, there's an old saying, don't fight the Fed. Do you know what that means, the Federal Reserve? Don't fight the Federal Reserve. When the Federal Reserve is on the warpath to boost the economy, they're going to make it work by printing money, doing whatever it takes, whatever they need. Well, here in China, they don't really have the equivalent of a Fed, but don't fight the Fed in China. They will reinflate somehow, some way, their economy. So I don't want to fight them on this. Don't bet against them. They have lots of ammunition. They have, $1-2 trillion just laying around they could throw at the economy if they want to. They have lots and lots of ammunition. So question you have to ask is, when do you start buying things that might benefit from a growing China instead of a shrinking China? Because everything now is on the opposite side. And I'm not saying to do it now. I'm not saying to go buy now, but you got to start thinking forward. When is that time? Has our market fallen enough? No one knows that, do we? When I meet with listeners on selected dates each month, one of the top items on our discussion list is allocations. It's important to allocate investments according to your goals and needs, not just willy-nilly. I like this stock. I don't like that one. I like this one. You got to be more structured about that. You shouldn't tie up all your funds in a 20-year bond. You shouldn't. If you need the money in 5 years, that makes no sense at all, does it? If you're looking for short-term growth, you don't look to blue-chip stocks. You're looking for growth. Blue-chip stocks don't usually have a lot of growth. So if you'd like to optimize your retirement portfolio, I invite you to meet with me. I can only do a limited number of these meetings. And my next date is September 9th. September 9th, if you want to meet with me in San Jose, just go to investtalk.com and click on schedule a meeting or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts.
InvestTalk is made possible each weekday by KPP Financial, serving clients all across the country. As a registered investment advisor, KPP manages retirement portfolios and provides financial advisory services, helping its clients make the best possible money choices. To find out more about KPP Financial Services, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Investments tab.
Jim from Minneapolis, Minnesota. I listen on the podcast. I'm wondering about a stock here, what your opinion is on Varian Medical. That symbol V as in Victor, A as in Apple, R as in Roger. Just wondering what you think. I'm looking to possibly get into it. Really appreciate your show. Thank you very much. Bye now.
It's Varian Medical Systems, headquartered in Palo Alto, California. It develops oncology systems and equipment used in radiation therapy, X-ray, imaging components, and subsystems. They are growing their sales earnings very steadily at 4 and 8% year over year over year. They're growing their sales in the low single-digit numbers. Earnings are growing, sales are growing steadily. Now, the stock has hit a double bottom this week. The bottom it had before was last October when the market bottomed. And so this is bouncing off that bottom, so it's probably a good place to buy it. Why I'm not really excited about it? Because they're going to make $4.54 and the stock is an $82 stock. So that's almost a 20 PE. That's not cheap. It's not inexpensive. Even after it fell from 95 down to 80 and now back up to 82.5, it's still not cheap. Why is it not cheap? Because it's a very steady company. Doesn't pay a dividend, so you're looking for capital appreciation. Chances are high it'll go back to 95, but you might have to wait a while to get there. I'm not sure. Not much debt, really good return on equity, good solid company. Good solid company. I just don't want you to think that you're buying a cheap company. It's not. You know, with a $4.54 earnings growing 4 to 8% year over year, you shouldn't this company shouldn't sell more than market PE, which is about 15. That's the average PE. So that means it should be around $65 a share as a fair value. And here it is at 82. That's what I mean when I say it's not cheap. On a chart, this is a double bottom, and this may be as far as it goes down, unless we go into recession. Time to look beyond the headlines. When the market makes big moves up and down, it's time to hit the books. Gain some perspective, everybody. Reach for a book like Basic Economics, A Common Sense Guide to the Economy by Thomas Sowell. Visit our recommended book section on investtalk.com. Do you have questions about the economy? Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART.
From the investtalk.com newsfeed. The U.S. Federal Reserve is waiting to see how data and markets unfold over the coming weeks before deciding whether to raise interest rates at its September meeting, according to Vice Chair Stanley Fischer. What's your take on the story? We'd love to hear. Call our 24-hour listener line and record your commentary. We look forward to hearing it on the next InvestTalk.
888-992-4278. Now let's do something a little less... important. How about, important when it comes to our money at least. How about exercise older people should not do? Older people meaning anybody over age 40, middle-aged on. Exercise you should not do. And you're not going to believe this. And you know, as we get older, we get the middle age spread, or we develop belly flat, especially for us men. And one of the reasons is after age 40, our growth hormones start to diminish. And what happens is we start working on trying to not to prevent that belly fat from coming. Well, one thing you should not do is too much cardio exercise. Too much exercise. It overtaxes the body, and the body produces more stress hormone called cortisol. It's a stress hormone, and our body overproduces it. When you overstress it with too much cardio, and that causes you to gain belly fat. Isn't that great news? We don't have to overexercise. Yay! Also, another problem is, and this is common for people over 40, not getting enough sleep. Sleep deprivation causes the same cortisol hormone, the stress hormone, and that produces makes you gain belly fat, to make sure you sleep enough. So, less exercise, more sleep. Come on, who's not going to like that? I like it already. And one more thing, sit-ups are not going to reduce belly fat. There's no evidence of any kind doing sit-ups will help. It'll make you give you stronger stomach muscles, but it's not going to get rid of your belly fat. Isn't that good news? Stop doing your sit-ups, don't have to work out too hard, and I get to sleep more. And I won't have as much belly fat. Yay! Your questions come first, and you get the last word also. So let's get one more question in. We're here for you at 888-99-CHART.
This is Dean from Laramie. I have a symbol E, stock symbol E, and I'm trying to figure out what to do with it. Anyway, give me your opinion. I'd sure appreciate it. Thank you.
Stock symbol E is Eni Spa ADS. It's an Italian company engaged in oil and gas refining, marketing, exploration, production, supply of gas and power globally. It is a $58 billion company. It's a very large company. And, of course, just like all the other oil companies, and being in Europe, which is not growing very much, their home office, the stock has been crushed. And I'm going to tell you, don't sell it. Don't. Now, its dividend yield is 4.7%. Its PE is kind of high because it made, in 2012, it made $5 a share. This year, it's going to make $1.31 because oil prices got crushed. So the stock has gone down. Next year, it's supposed to make $2.35. That's almost an 80% increase. So sales have fallen sharply. They're $24 billion a quarter. But, of course, it's all about oil prices. Do you think oil prices are going to go up? It's a stock I wouldn't sell at this point. It's already been beaten up, and I would just hold it. I don't see any reason to sell it. It's a global company. So now you're looking at, well, what's the debt? Not very much debt. How much is their cash flow? $10.32 a share. They're a $32 stock. It's going to make $2.35 next year. That means the PE is going to be around 15. It's not one to sell. No matter how bad it looks right now, it's a big integrated oil company and the kind of thing you probably should hold on to and not worry about it so much. It will recover. It's just when. It will recover when oil starts getting stronger. Okay? That's E for Eni Spa ADS. It's an Italian oil company. We're out of time for today. Don't risk it. Get your portfolio risk in tune with your personal risk tolerance number. Take the free risk analysis test. Get a risk number. What kind of risk number do you have? And then we'll tell you what the risk of your portfolio. Do it yourself. You can do it for free at investtalk.com. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP Financial, thank you for listening and enjoy your weekend. Let's meet again on Monday.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.